You know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. Dear fellow redeemed, have you ever seen the face of someone who just found a treasure? Maybe you're thinking of like a movie or a TV show, you can think of somebody, but it happened in real life. Back in 2006, a woman named Amanda Reese, she was looking to remodel her bathroom, so she hired a contractor. He was under the medicine cabinet ripping out the wall when he saw a little green box in the wall. And he lifted up the corner of the box and he saw a $50 bill, an old one. Apparently, back during the Great Depression, the old homeowner didn't trust the bank, so he hid his money inside the walls of the house. So by the time Amanda got home, they piled all the money on the table. It was almost $200,000. You want to see what their faces looked like when they found the treasure? Here's a picture. Look at the joy on their faces, huh? That, Jesus says, that is just like the kingdom of heaven. He said that in that story. I want you to read aloud with me. Will you read out loud? Even if you're watching at home, you can read aloud with what's on the screen. Let's read together. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then, in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. There's a hidden treasure story, and back in Jesus' day, hidden treasure wasn't quite as rare as we might think it is in our day. Because just like during the Great Depression, people in Jesus' day did not trust banks, and so they would split their wealth three ways. One part, they would keep cash for spending. One part, they would invest in jewelry and gold that they could wear so that if they ever got attacked by a foreign enemy, they could run away and carry their treasure with them. But the third part, they would bury on their land so that after they ran away, they could come back and reclaim their wealth. Well, in Jesus' story, apparently, someone forgot all about their buried treasure, at least until a man found it. And when the man found this treasure, it was so valuable that he could get rid of everything else he owned and just buy that one field. It's a pretty amazing story of true treasure. Jesus says that is how valuable the kingdom of heaven is. And the kingdom of heaven, it's kind of an interesting term. It pops up all over the book of Matthew, and it doesn't necessarily mean heaven where the angels are singing and God is sitting on his throne. Instead, it's more like referring to a president's administration. So like, for instance, if we talk about the Obama administration, we're not talking about the land that President Obama governed. And we're not necessarily talking about the White House. We're talking about all the things that he and his team did while they were in office. In the same way, the kingdom of heaven doesn't necessarily mean the land where God is king. It means all the things that God has done. And all the things that he is currently doing and all the things that he will do in your life and in mine. Like, the biggest thing God ever did was when he sent Jesus to take up the sins of the world and die on the cross to pay for them so that you and I will not be held responsible for all of our bad deeds. That, Jesus says, that is the kingdom of God, it's the kingdom of heaven, and it is priceless. It's worth more than everything else in your life put together. And as his disciples are trying to figure out that story and wrap their minds around it, Jesus just launches right into the next story. Read this one with me too. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Everything he had, he sold for one pearl, which seems crazy to me because I went on Kohl's.com this week and I found that I can buy a pearl earring for $60. Of course, you know that that's a recent development, that pearls are so cheap, right? Within the last, like, 100, 150 years, we figured out how to culture pearls and mass produce them in little tanks that are easy to find. But back in Jesus' day, to get a pearl, you had to be able to hold your breath long enough to dive to the bottom of a bay, pick up as many clams as you could find, and then bring them back to the surface, hoping that one of them had a pearl inside. They were super hard to get, super rare, and super valuable. And to illustrate that, there's an ancient legend. There's an ancient legend about the Egyptian queen Cleopatra, and when she met the Greek man Mark Antony. So Cleopatra had Mark Antony over and made a bet with him. She wagered that she could serve a dinner that would cost 10 million Roman sesterces. That's about $4 million in American money. For one dinner. Mark Antony took the bet. And they bring out the first course. And, I mean, it's nice food because she's the queen, but it's just what they always ate for dinner. And so Mark Antony is thinking, I won the bet. Okay, pay up, Cleopatra. That's not $4 million worth of food. But then Cleopatra ordered dessert. And the servants bring out not like a big old cake or pie, just one little cup of vinegar. Maybe you can make out the cup of vinegar in Cleopatra's left hand. And she pulls out her pearl earring, drops it in the cup of vinegar, it dissolves, and she downed it. And everybody in that room knew she won the bet. Because that one pearl earring cost way more than $4 million. And that, Jesus says, that is how valuable the kingdom of heaven is. Like when Jesus rose from the dead to guarantee a spot for you and me in heaven, well, that's worth more than millions. That's priceless. That's a true treasure. And Jesus' claim is that his kingdom of heaven, the things that God has done for us, it's worth more than everything else we have put together. And here's the crazy thing. It's yours right now. I don't know the spiritual background of everybody listening to this sermon today, but some of you maybe feel like that man who was searching for treasure in a field. You know, that man who was searching, there's no way he could have planned on finding that. And some of you, there's no way you could have orchestrated your meeting with Jesus. Like some of you first heard about Jesus when you were a baby. There's no way you could have planned it. But others of you maybe feel more like that man who was searching for pearls, who spent his life striving and seeking and looking, like you may have spent part of your life striving and seeking and looking for some kind of peace in this world. But whether you were looking for Jesus or whether he caught you totally by surprise, one day he broke into your life. By no thing that you did, only by his grace, he showed up in your life and you heard about Jesus. You, right now, have something so valuable, a Savior who can wash away all that you've done wrong today, a Savior who's given you a purpose for your life here on this earth, and the promise of eternal bliss in heaven forever. That is true treasure, and Jesus claims that you have it right now. Which means that if you put yourself into one of these stories, if you imagine yourself in Jesus' story, you are not a man aimlessly wandering through the field. You are not a pearl merchant searching and searching and searching. You're like those guys after they found it. Because right now, in your heart, you have Jesus. You have all that God has done for you. You have true treasure. So imagine you had the multi-million dollar pearl. What would you do with it? You throw it in the junk drawer and close it? No. Ladies, don't do that with your pearls. Probably you'd treasure it. You'd daydream about it, maybe. You'd probably look at it, especially when you're having a rough day, to remind yourself of how blessed you are. And you'd probably protect that thing, defend it against getting stolen or lost. Well, you do have the priceless treasure of Jesus and all he's done. We don't look at that by looking at a pearl. We look at that by reviewing what God has done when we read the Bible. We look at what God has done when we hear his promises of all that he's promised to do for us. We defend that pearl from getting stolen, not by putting it in a lockbox, but we defend all the things that God has done for us as we encourage one another. And as we are willing to give up everything else in our world so long as we don't lose Jesus. That's treasuring the true treasure that is in your heart right now. And sometimes we have a hard time seeing the value of that treasure. Because on earth, there's so many things that distract us, which is why Jesus told the next story. Because a day is coming when everybody will understand the true value of what God has done. The next story is all about fishermen. Let's read this together. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The net that Jesus was talking about in that story, it's not the kind of net where you see the fish you want on the hook or swim in there and you reach out and grab the one you want. Now, this is a drag net, a net that you would put in the lake and then drag it across a whole area and you're going to catch everything that's living in that spot. That's like the kingdom of heaven. What God has done touches the lives of millions of people, of all different kinds of people. But an eternal sorting day is coming. Because there are people who have heard about what God has done, who know about Jesus and have rejected all of God's blessings, who turn their nose up at Jesus as though he's not really worth much, and they'd rather have other things. And people who turn their nose up at the priceless treasure of Jesus, they will be in hell, where there is endless weeping. It's a terrible truth. It's a terrifying warning for you and me. But it's one that we need to hear. It's one we need because of all the things that try to distract us from our true treasure. Because of all the things that we might value, our work, our job, our accomplishments, our family, our possessions, of all the things that we might think are valuable, Jesus refuses to be number two in our hearts. He wants the top spot. That's why Jesus endured hell for us. See, hell isn't just the place where the wicked people go on judgment day. Hell is the place that Jesus went. When he died on the cross, he experienced the eternal weeping. And Jesus knows the perpetual grinding of tooth against tooth in bitter agony. He endured hell when he died on the cross, so that you and I will never have to endure that. So that you and I can look forward to a judgment day where we will go to heaven for eternal bliss instead of the weeping and the gnashing. Jesus endured all that to win your love. He did that so that you would see that nothing in your life is more valuable than that. Like, compare it to anything. The fulfillment you get from your job or your accomplishments compared to the promise that God is with you every day until you go to heaven and then he'll be with you some more. It's not even close. Compare the wonderful fellowship you have with your family and friends to Jesus, who suffered hell so that you can go to heaven. Compare all your possessions to all that God has done for you in Jesus. Jesus wants us to know he's number one in the world, and he's number one in our hearts. And when we treasure that number one thing in our hearts, then amazing thing happens. God puts his treasure in our hands. That's what Jesus' final teaching point is about. Let's read this together. "Have you understood all these things?" Jesus asked. "Yes," they replied. He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom treasures as well as gold." So a teacher of the law, like Jesus is referring to, the teacher of the law back then was somebody who knew God's word, somebody like you. And Jesus says that somebody who knows God's word like you, who also knows the kingdom of heaven, who knows what God has done for us, well, that person has a magical storeroom. Because a normal storage room, like one in my house, that's where I take all my old stuff, I put it in there, and then I go away, and when I need something, I go back, and all my old stuff is waiting for me. But I've never seen a storage room like the one Jesus is talking about. That's one where you put all your old stuff in there, and then you go away, and when you come back, all your old stuff is waiting for you, plus there's a bunch of brand new stuff in there. Can you imagine having a room like that in your house that keeps your stuff safe and produces more? Well, that's what you've got if your treasure is what God has done for you. You can give away Jesus to someone who needs him. You can give away forgiveness to someone who needs it. You can give away God's love. You can give away your attention. You can give away the kingdom of heaven, and you'll never have any less of it. You'll never have any less of it because you know what God has done for you, so you are like the owner of a house who brings out of the storage room new treasures as well as old. So who are you going to give it to? I have seen so many emails and articles lately that start with the phrase like, "in these troubled times." You guys seen some of these? Every one of those is a clue that people in the world right now are like that pearl merchant who was searching and searching and searching for something to calm their troubles, something to make peace. So many people who are good friends from in our church family and who are people outside of our church family who've never heard of this. So many people need the peace of what God has done for us, and you have it. You have in your hands the true treasure. People in the world don't first and foremost need our money, and they don't first and foremost need our advice, and they don't first and foremost need a kick in the pants. They need Jesus. So, how about this? On August 23rd, 2 weeks from today, we're having an outside service. It's safer to gather in big groups outside. It's fun. We get to sing along with the music. It's pretty casual. Who are you going to invite? I mean, maybe you can invite them to come sit on the lawn with you, but if that's not your thing, then maybe you can just invite them to watch the services that we post on our website. Or if you don't even want to invite them to church, maybe you just give them some encouragement about how you are thinking of them and how God loves them and remind them what Jesus has done for them. That can be a little awkward, so we tried to make it a little easier this week here at Mount Olive. We've got some cards, some little Mount Olive themed postcards, and there's actually copies of these sitting in the pew ahead of you, and you can reach forward and grab one if you'd like to check it out right now. The front of the cards, there should be like one for each family group. People are watching on the live stream are like, "What is he talking about?" Here, you can, there you go. There's these cards that on the front, they've got a little message about what God has done for us. That's the treasure that we're trying to treasure in our hearts and share with our friends. But the back of the cards, that's where you get to write. Whose name belongs on your card? Maybe you'll say, "Join me on August 23rd outside." Maybe you'll say, "Check out the MountOliveAppleton.com and check out the sermons there." Or maybe you'll just say, "Just wanted to let you know I'm thinking of you and God loves you." But as you hold this card, you have literally in your hands the true treasure. Let's just wrap up here by going back to Miss Amanda Reese. Miss Amanda Reese found this beautiful treasure, but it turns out that neither she nor her contractor were very good with treasure. They fought about it in court, they wasted it, and later she ended up declaring bankruptcy. Let's not do that. Huh? Let's do the opposite of that. Let's value the true treasure that we have in Jesus, and then let's share it with all of our friends. Amen.